And I'm carrying on today with the theme of discipleship, which we looked at last week. We're looking at three D's. As I said last week, I'm sure there's many more, but we're just starting with those three D's, and we looked at one last week on decision. We're going to look at a couple more today. But during the week, I had a text or an email from a cell leader, and they were saying they were discussing what was said last week, and I made a comment about too many churches are producing churches full of consumers rather than full of disciples. Whereas in the New Testament, churches produce disciples. 21st century, we seem to be producing consumers. And the comment was, but I thought if we were opening up our doors to anybody, that's what we're going to fill our doors with, people that are consuming. And of course, that is true. But we don't stay as consumers. And that's the challenge for church. We want to open our door to everybody. Everybody that's seeking, everybody that's in a mess, everybody that thinks their life is sorted out, everybody that's a Christian, everybody that's not yet a Christian. But we don't remain there. We come with our needs. We come looking to get all that we can because the gospel provides those needs. But the challenge of discipleship is we move from consumer, we move from convert to disciple. And we become a follower of Jesus. And our lives change. And ultimately then, we're not coming to get, we're coming to give. And we're coming to make a difference. And we're coming to influence those around us. So that might cause more discussion and more questions, but I just wanted to clarify, as I was requested to do so, what I meant by discipleship and churches full of disciples. You see, churches full of consumers don't change nations. They don't even change families, yet alone towns and cities. But churches full of disciples will make an impact. And I believe God's called us to make an impact. So, three D's of discipleship, two more coming up today. I've got a new little clicker to work. Hey, look at that. So in Matthew 28, we looked at this last week, verse 18, then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Another comment back from last week was, when you start talking about obeying and commandments, there's something inside of me that struggles. And I think that's fairly natural for us independent bunch of westernized people. We struggle with anything to do with obedience and that concept of obeying commandments and being taught and told what to do. And at the end of my talk last week, I was saying, we need to pray that we apply the blood of Jesus, which was shed. Just as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and was struggling in one sense to obey his Father's will, to lay down his life. And he sweat drops of blood. We need to apply that blood into our lives and over our lives, that we find that grace to obey the commands of Jesus. And so we touched on this last week. We saw disciples are formed and shaped. They're not born. A newly saved Christian isn't automatically a disciple. A convert to Christianity needs to be formed into a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. A disciple is a student, an apprentice, a trainee. So there needs to be a willingness on the part of the disciple to be discipled. It requires humility and teachability, but it's one of the best choices we can make to become a follower of Jesus. We noticed in the New Testament, Christian or believer is mentioned half a dozen times, but disciples are referred to over 250 times in the New Testament. So we get the heart of what the New Testament was all about. In the New Testament church, discipleship was the norm, and we need to make it the norm in our church in this century. And it starts with the first of those three D's, which I talked on last week, decision. When the excitement of salvation has waned slightly, when that experience of receiving the Holy Spirit, that joy of knowing our sins have been forgiven and we've been restored and reconciled to God, when those feelings subside slightly, or even majorly, we need to make that decision to continue to obey Jesus and to be a good follower and a good disciple of him. There's a cost to pay, there's a price to pay. Jesus told us to be a disciple, it's costly. But we make a good decision by choosing to become a disciple of Jesus. So you have to get the tape, or we don't have tapes now, whatever we have, podcasts, and we talked about that last week. But this week I want to talk about the second D, and I'm calling this devotion. The New Testament disciples were a devoted bunch of people. And devotion, I want to put to you, is a mark of a true disciple. And this is the dictionary definition of devotion. Feeling or displaying strong affection or attachment. Feeling or demonstrating loyalty, and it makes me smile. When they're trying to define devotion, they say, well, devotion. But that was the definition. But a feeling of demonstrating loyalty. That's what devotion is about. Acts 2 says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they had strong affection, attachment, and loyalty to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread. Where are we? To the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. These are marks of discipleship. Jesus says in Matthew 22, when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Disciples are passionate, devoted, and committed people. Amen. They're devoted to their cause, the vision God's given us. They're devoted to the brothers and sisters, the church. They're devoted to their leaders, and they're devoted to the Lord. Here in Acts, we read there, they devoted themselves. Oh, got that one there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the teaching of their leaders. They were open. They wanted to be taught. They wanted to learn. They wanted to change. They didn't think they knew it all, but they were humble and teachable and committed to the apostolic teaching of the leaders in that day. Last year, I remember hearing Pastor Burt, James mentioned he's coming to London in a few months' time. He leads a church of more than 15,000 in, or 17,000 actually, in South Africa. He mixes in government circles. He was telling me, I don't know why he was telling me, but he has a little light which he can put on his top of his car and it starts flashing and he can go through the traffic jams because he has these connections and these links with people, you know, high up in places of power. His church gives away 12,000 meals a day, and it's a church which is making significant impact in the locality and seeing many disciples formed. And his pastor is Pastor Caesar. And he was saying in Windsor last year, he said, and sometimes Pastor Caesar brings teaching which I don't understand. Know the feeling. He brings teaching I don't understand. He said, but even sometimes it's worse. It almost seems contrary to what I thought or believed before. And he says, what I have to do is I say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what my pastor's teaching. He's up here and I'm down here. And I don't understand what he's saying. Holy Spirit, bring understanding, bring revelation. I thought, what an incredible heart of humility. The reason for describing him earlier on was in the natural, he doesn't need a Pastor Caesar. He's very successful. He's operating in government circles, doing all the stuff he's doing. But he's got that humble heart and says, I'm a disciple of Pastor Caesar's. And if I don't understand it, I pray, Holy Spirit, help me understand. How different some of our attitudes might be. Well, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what Bible he's reading from. Well, he's got that wrong, hasn't he? You know, and we have that attitude. All of a sudden, no humility. We've decided we know best. In our church of 200 people, and he's got a church of 200,000, but we know best. And Pastor Caesar's got it wrong. But disciples are committed to their apostolic teaching. That illustration illustrates the importance of humility. And if we want to be a disciple, we need to be prepared to change our thinking. Big amen to that. Hallelujah. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. which of course includes the teachings of the Bible. Let me just quickly, I can press back here, I don't need prayer yet. Let me just quickly say, I won't go into that, but it includes the teachings of the Bible. And I want to say, church, we try to abide by them as best as we understand them and apply them in this day and age. Okay? Some people will have different views of how they interpret Scripture. But I want to say, as best as our ability is, we're committed to the teaching of Scripture and by living by the principles which are outlined. We need to understand the context. We need to understand how to apply it. And that's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us understand that. But our commitment is to the Word of God. Amen. The disciples, they were committed to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Passionate about prayer. Loyal to prayer. They knew prayer was important. I was asking Pastor Lennart the other day, why do you think your church is one of the churches which is growing in Europe when so many churches don't seem to be growing so quickly? All down to prayer, he said. And we need to pray more. And they pray more. And we caught something of the heart and spirit of prayer because they were devoted to prayer. And as they pray, they see the answers of God and the kingdom breaking in. They were devoted to breaking of bread. What does that mean? Well, yes, it's breaking of bread, remembering the body of Jesus, but it was usually in the context of meals. So they were devoted to fellowship, to eating together, to spending time together, to having meals together. And in the context of meals, they would often just break bread together too and remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And they were devoted to each other. They were devoted to fellowship. Paul tells them, be devoted to each other. Who's that each other? That's us, the church. The people. It's relationships. It's committed friends. It's those who help us, and we're helping each other follow Jesus. Who love, who care, who speak the truth in love. We're honest and we're real and we're loyal to each other. Jesus says, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Not if you just accept everything everybody does and says, but in love we confront, in love we encourage, in love we rebuke, in love we correct, and we form and we shape each other. In love we're committed to each other. When we're going through hard times, we're there for each other, and we're standing with each other, and we share materially, and we share spiritually, because this is the body of Christ. And Paul says, be devoted to each other. He goes on to say, do good to all, especially the household of God, especially the church of Jesus Christ. You know, God's calling us to do good to those outside of the church of Jesus Christ, but not at the neglect of the church. Yeah? Do good to all, especially the household of God. And of course, that's what Jesus' second commandment was. Love your neighbor. Love each other as you love yourself. So disciples are devoted to each other. Number, whatever it is, disciples are devoted to their leaders and pastors. They love their cell leaders. I'm hoping, you'll hear more detail tonight, I'm hoping Pastor Caesar may come and visit us in July. I'm not sure what we're going to have to show him at that time. I've accepted we won't have a building to open. But I'm hoping he'll come to visit us in July. I'm told he would like to come. When Pastor Caesar comes, I want to pull out all the stops to honor and bless him and make much of him, because he's our senior pastor. His ministry, his teaching, his example has changed Jackie's and my lives. It's changing our family. It's changing our church. I don't think we would have a building to even look at if we had not begun to connect with the life and the teaching that Pastor Caesar has brought to us. He's given us vision, he's given us faith to go beyond what for 25, 30 years we have been at. And I want to honor him for that. And I look forward to honor him. It's not like, oh, what ought I do? I ought to make my car tidy, or I ought to arrange. I want to do these things because he's my pastor and he's a man of God, which I seek to honor in the Lord. He deserves honor and respect. It's totally biblical. When Pastor Lennart and Carolina come, I want to do the same. When Joel comes, he's coming in a few weeks' time. He wants to have his last little teach here. We'll do the same. We honor men and women of God. We honor our leaders and pastors. When Jackie and the girls were in Sweden recently, she said to Pastor Carolina, "Thank you so much for the way you've cared for us and looked after us." And Carolina said to Jackie, she said, "Do you know what? We learnt that from you." And I took that as a really big compliment, because when they came, we pulled out the stops to look after them, to bless them, to care for them, to treat them, to take them around. We learnt that from you. And that's honour. And we give honour to those over us in the Lord. Amen? Amen. We love those. We love Caesar and Claudia. We love Lena and Carolina. We pray for them. We pray for their families. We want to bless them. We want to be good disciples. And that's the heart attitude which all disciples should have towards those over them in the Lord. Do you remember David? King David had this crazy desire. Saul was, the armies of Saul were against him. And David, I think he must have just, it wasn't a command. He must have just said it, but he said it a bit too loud. He said, "Oh, I just wish I could have a glass of water from that well in Jerusalem." I don't think he expected anybody to hear that or to respond to that. But immediately, two of his closest friends, his disciples, if you like, immediately they said, "Did you hear what the king said? He wants a glass of water from that well in Jerusalem. Why don't we go and get it?" Well, that's crazy. It's absolutely surrounded by the army. Saul's men are there. It's absolutely impossible. But my master, my king, I heard his desire. I heard what he expressed. He said he'd just like to have a sip, have a glass of water. I'm going to go. Are you coming with me? And the two of them, they went off, risked their lives, somehow or another, got to the well in Jerusalem without waking Saul up, got the water and brought back that glass of water. "Here you are, my king. What's this?" "Well, you said you'd want some water from that well in Jerusalem." "I was just dreaming. I wasn't really expecting you to take that seriously." "Yes, but here you are. We're devoted to you. Here's the glass." And David was so overwhelmed, it said he poured out the water as a sacrifice. His disciples wanted to bless their leader. I thought, what a beautiful heart. Joab never caught it. Joab was never one of his 30. Joab was his right-hand man in so many ways. He never caught his heart. But these others caught the heart of their leader. That's challenging, isn't it? I want to be like that to those over me. I want to serve them and do the best I can for them. One other illustration. Lennart was showing us around this beautiful church, which they spent quite a bit of money on to change their auditorium into a really functioning, nice facility. And he told his men who were organizing this, he said, what he would like is a pulpit that comes up from underneath the floor, a press of a button. And we don't pull this away from over there. You press a button, zoom, pulpit comes up on the stage. And when you finish preaching, press a button, zoom, it goes down again. Okay? Empty stage, clear stage. He must have seen that somewhere. And he said, I would really like one of those to be built into the design. I don't know whether he had any more involvement in it. The guys were telling me how much money that cost. And it was thousands of pounds. If Lennart had knew how much money that cost, he would never even expressed that request. But do you know what's on their stage? There's a pulpit that goes zoom, zoom, and down again. Somehow, they got the money to give him this special little pulpit, which for me, I don't want one, by the way. I just like a Perspex pulpit is fine for me. As long as I can move it, we don't need to leave it in the same place. In Fred's church, they've cemented it in the stage. And it's there, and you've got all the stuff happening, and you can't move this pulpit. So I don't want it cemented, just a nice glass Perspex one that we can move around. But Lennart wanted this, and his disciples heard it, and they gave it him. They were honouring their leaders. Disciples are devoted to their leaders. And of course, disciples are devoted to the Lord and his vision. Love the Lord with your whole heart, Jesus says. The first and greatest commandment. We show our love and devotion how? By coming to church? Yeah. Singing worship songs? Yeah. Getting up at 6 o'clock to join James and pray? Yeah. But more, we show our devotion to him through obedience and by embracing his vision, his heart, and his purposes. Amen. He chose 12 men to be with him, to have fellowship. But he had a hidden agenda. his intention was, to have fellowship, to have company, but it says that he chose them to send them out to preach the gospel. There was a purpose in him choosing his relationships. And I want to say that disciples are committed to, or Christian disciples, to the Lord and his purpose and his vision. To the disciples in Jerusalem, just as he was going, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. He was commissioning them to continue the work which he started. And as disciples, they gave up their lives to fulfill that commission because they were totally devoted and committed to him and his purposes. To Paul, he chooses him on the road to Damascus. We know the story, most of us. And later on, he says, I've chosen you, Paul, to be my witness to the Gentiles. There's a call on your life. And if Paul wanted to be a good disciple, he needed to commit to that call on his life, which was to be a witness to the Gentiles. And at the end of his life, Paul said, and I've not been disobedient to that heavenly vision. You see, he was devoted to the call of God on his lives. And I want to put it to us, church, we need to be devoted not to our vision primarily, but his vision. And we put his vision top. And we pray that our visions and our hopes and dreams become his vision and his hopes and dreams. And if they're not directly his, then we subject ours under his, because he's called us to be disciples and to follow him and the hopes and dreams which he has for you, for this church, for the Reading and for the world. We show our love and devotion by putting his vision above ours. Hallelujah. So devotion to the Lord, to his vision, to his leaders, to each other, are all marks of true disciples. And my third D, which I'm going to end with, 5 minutes. Third D, first one, decision. Second D, devotion. Third D is development. You see, discipleship's about development. It's about changing. It's about growing. It's about maturing. Disciples don't stand still, they grow. If you're in the same place that you were a year ago, you're not a disciple. Disciples won't be in the same place that they were a year ago. They will have grown, they will have developed, they will have got closer to the Lord and be more equipped, because that's his heart and that's his plan. Paul says to the church in Galatia, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He'd planted this church. They'd wavered. They started off in the spirit. They got into legalism and all sorts of fleshly things. And Paul is saying to the church, my dear children, I'm in the pains of childbirth again. It's like I want you to be reborn, because I don't want legalism, but I want Christ to be formed in you. I want you to be disciples of Jesus. I want you to be shaped and formed into his likeness. Legalism was not like Jesus. He was full of truth, full of life, full of grace. And Paul's saying, I'm praying that that will be happening in you too. His goal was formation. His goal was maturity. And that needs to be the goal of disciples. He says this in Ephesians 4. He gave apostles, prophets, gave all those different ministries to the church to prepare God's people, to prepare them, to develop them, to equip them, to train them for works of service. Not so that we just remain sitting on our pews, not so that we just come to cell once a week, but for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up. You see, that's why I say a church full of disciples will make a difference, because disciples are equipped to work, they're equipped to serve, they're equipped to reach the poor, they're equipped to teach others, they're equipped to train, they're equipped as good husbands and wives, they're equipped to be good parents, because we're discipling, we're training, we're teaching. Paul goes on, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. See, mature trees produce fruit. And that's what the Lord is looking for, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And the role of leaders, the role of cell leaders and pastors, it's to equip, it's to develop, it's to prepare, so we become useful and influential. In here and out there. In your workplace, in the family, in the church, in the community, useful and influential. When we're first newborn babes, we're not.
But as we begin to grow and develop, as we begin to learn and mature, then we become useful and we become influential all over the place. Disciples want to grow. Marika has a disciple's heart. The Lord didn't want her to hear me say this because she's just gone. She was saved a couple of years ago, but she's hungry to learn and to serve. Marika has been on Encounters more than once in 2 years, Post-Encounters, School of Leaders, School of Leaders 2. And she said to me the other day, she said, I want to open a cell now. But what do I do? I'm not sure. I'm not sure my health will enable me to open a cell. But I want to keep growing. I want to be used. I want to be influential. She said, can I have a chat? And she's already filled one row, and I think she wants to fill a few more rows yet with people that she's invited to come to church. Can I have a chat? I'm not quite sure what I want to do, but I want to serve the vision. I want to, you know, with the disabilities that she has, Marika is saying, but I want to serve with all the ability that God's given me. That's a heart of a disciple. Isn't that beautiful? And she's hungry. And we had a really, really good chat. And well, maybe I could open a cell in my home. Maybe I could get somebody from Debs' cell and they could support me. And I could invite my neighbors and I could invite... Hallelujah. She's catching something. She's caught something. And that's what the Lord wants us to be like. And I just have this sense that when Marika gets to heaven, she will hear the Lord say, well done. Well done. I don't know. I hope she'll be healed before she gets to heaven. But if she isn't, well done. With the disabilities that you've got, you just pursued me and sought me and sought to serve me as best as you've been able to. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want us all to hear that commendation because we follow after him. Hallelujah. One of my little tweets recently saw my little friend Brian Houston. Well, he doesn't know who I am. Unfortunately, he supports Chelsea, so I did tell him I enjoy his little tweets, but wish he didn't talk about Chelsea so much. Didn't get a reply. But he says this, rather than focus on the growth of the church, focus... Here she is. Just been talking about you. Rather than focus on the growth of the church, focus on the health of the church, because healthy things grow. That's why we need development. That's why we need discipleship. The purpose of any training or apprenticeship is development and growth. And that's the same for us as disciples. Healthy churches will attract people and grow. Healthy cells will attract people and grow. But healthy churches and healthy cells depend on a couple of things. Yes, good leadership, but they depend on healthy disciples. Maturity is our aim. Strong, mature, not blown about here and there, Paul says, by the latest fad. Not living for God 1 minute and living for the devil the next. Not compromising biblical truth, but standing firm on the word of God. Standing firm in our salvation. Seeing our lives changed and transformed by the power of God. That's what healthy disciples are doing. It's about us becoming more than conquerors. Reigning in life. It's about us enjoying and experiencing the favor of God. Influencing rather than being influenced. Leading rather than being led. And of course, bearing fruit, loads of it, rather than being unfruitful. See, even Jesus says that's a test for discipleship. The test for being a disciple is that we're fruitful. Lives have been changed. Environments are impacted and souls are being saved. That's what we're here for, LifeSpring. To be good disciples of Jesus Christ and to make a difference everywhere we go. Rob, do you want to just come up, please? Discipleship. It's a missing jewel in the church, but it's what we're called to become. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So 3 D's. It's about decision. It's about making that decision. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I know there's a world out there which is seeking to oppose me every way they can. There's a world out there that wants me to compromise. There's a world out there that wants to trip me up. But I've made a decision. I've made a decision. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. It's about devotion, loyalty, commitment to him, to his purposes, to his church. I'm going to be devoted. I'm going to be a devoted disciple of Jesus. And it's about us being prepared to grow and to be developed and to be open and humble enough to receive from those over us so that our minds can change, our lives can change, and Jesus gets all the glory. Hallelujah. Discipleship. 3 D's. Let's commit to them and become a church full of disciples which is going to impact this town of Reading and the nation. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think Rob's got a song in mind. But what I had in mind as we sing this song was I wanted to give an opportunity for everybody. There might be some here. Have a little bit of music in the background while I'm talking. Be good. There might be some here who have never given their lives to Jesus. Or maybe they thought they had, but they've not understood what discipleship's all about and have fallen short of wanting to become a disciple. Well, I want to give you that opportunity today to make that commitment to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower, to be somebody that is devoted, somebody that is prepared to grow and develop, to become used by him in greater measure, to become mature. There may be some that have never done that and said that. Well, as we sing this last song, I want to give you the opportunity to come forward and we'd love to pray with you. But I just wondered also, there might be some, there might be many of us here which say, I've just slipped back a little bit. I'm not as devoted as I once was. That love that I once had for the Lord, for the church, even for his vision, it's just grown a little bit cold. I want to recommit. I want to recommit again. I want to be used by him. I want to be an influencer for him. I want to make a difference for him in my family and in my workplace and wherever I am. And if you just want to recommit, and that could be everybody, but if you just want to recommit, why don't you come forward too? And Jackie and I and others, John, Jill, others, we would just love to pray and stand with you as we make that recommitment to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, not in name, but in life. Seeking, hopefully not to die for him, but who knows, but certainly seeking to live for him and to make our life count. If you want to be that and just recommit to that, then as we sing this song, you come forward too, and we'll stand together and pray together. Thanks, Rob.